Generally speaking, the DMR had good relations with those it dealt with, but there were some notable exceptions.
There wasn't a lot of contact with the people. You know, we come into the office and the DMR, we're the authority, we knew how to do it, don't ask us any questions, we know what we're doing. Well, the only thing we considered 30 years ago was the engineering problems. So we would have said, yes, we want to build a road from A to B. We would have looked at the best route from an engineering point of view, where we can get good earthworks, the grades are right, the curvature is right, and that's what we would have built. Sometimes the first the public would have known about was when we knocked on someone's door to say, we want to buy your land.
There was a system. We used to enter these properties on a permit to enter, which was just a piece of paper you'd take up and ask the owners to sign. And this was prior to acquisitions being paid for and all that sort of thing. And that used to work quite well most of the time. Sometimes, I believe, acquisitions weren't complete and paid for years afterwards.
Within our own walls, we determined what we'd build and when we'd do it, and we just went and did it. We told people that we wanted their land and that we'd take it. We'd get them to sign a permit to enter and then fence it off. And later on, we'd come back and acquire it. Sometimes we'd never get to come back. So there were lots of cases when we'd go through and build a new road and never compensate the owner for the change in boundary. We developed a very bad reputation as people that you couldn't deal with. Now, sometimes that comes back to haunt us even today. You turn up to acquire another bit of land and they remember when you didn't pay their father for a piece of land 20, 30, 40 years ago. These days, it's a softly, softly approach of consultation, understanding the needs, and as far as possible, meeting those reasonable needs.
There were a few incidents. There was a pig farmer, was a rather erratic character up near Wyong, and he rang me up one morning and said he was coming down with a gun to sort me out. Hitting properties of people does affect people. What the heck can you do? We had one suicide, went down the dairy one night and shot himself.
The highway has greatly improved in recent years and will continue to do so under the RTA's $2.2 billion reconstruction program, but many legacies remain.
Certainly on the Pacific itself, the two major poorly aligned sections are north of Bulladoola and north of Bangalow or north of Brunswick Heads. And those areas are always seen so very difficult and so very expensive to realign.
What was called a black spot was, well, on a map of road accidents, you put a pin in at every accident and it becomes a black spot with where all these pinheads congregate. Barring Bar Range, it's been a black spot for a long time, and the RTA has been considering various strategies to correct it. One of the strategies being a bypass, and it looks as if that's going to happen. That's become the major black spot because all the other black spots on the highway have virtually been eliminated.
Some of our bridges are very, very narrow. There's one just south of our depot here. And your rear vision mirror is over the outside edge of the bridge and it's not safe to pass. There's not a foot to spare. And there's been quite a few bridges like that where the truck drivers call one another up so the closest one pulls up and gives the other one the right of way on a CB. And to me today, in this modern age, that's pretty primitive.
The highway's improving dramatically, but there is still the various sections of it. There's sections of highway that haven't changed since I was with the DMR over 25 years ago. Once you get south of Burring Bar Mobile, there are sections of road there that are, you know, got very narrow shoulders. They really haven't changed in 30, 40 years, apart from maybe a little bit of work on the surface. And they're really quite low standard. But that's all got to do with the perception that this major bypass will go in, so there's not a lot of point in doing too much work on them.
In the last decade, the Pacific Highway has been subject to much planning and assessment. In the late 1980s, a study was done by the Northern Regional Office, and this was followed by the North Coast Road Strategy Study, released in 1993. Now an ambitious reconstruction plan is underway. How will this benefit the highway?
It's going to provide significant lengths of dual carriageway. I think the plan's, the objective is some 80% of dual carriageway to the Pacific Highway. It certainly will be targeting bypassing all the major towns. Dual carriageways probably to Port Macquarie, dual carriageways north of Ballina, dual carriageways around that Coffs Harbour area. All the areas where they've got high volumes of traffic will certainly have four lanes. It'll be a much safer highway, much more accessible highway. But there will be more freight using it. I've got no doubt about that. And there'll probably be more cars because people that currently use other roads like the New England may decide to use the Pacific. On absolute terms, we've estimated we're going to get an improvement of travel time between Newcastle and the Queensland border of about 50 minutes. If we didn't spend any of the money that we're spending and the road stayed as it was, we'd be decreasing the current travel time by about 20 minutes. So I think that's a good saving for people.
Some people say highways are ugly, that they carve through the natural beauty of a place and whatever. Beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. And to me, the new Pacific Highway looks like the Mona Lisa. It really does. The beautiful way they're building it, the care and the understanding that the RTA are putting into the construction, the consultation with the various bodies, trying to do the right thing by everybody, I am amazed at their patience and their understanding.
The number of projects that have been implemented and completed amaze me, and the overall standard has improved, but it's nowhere near a good road yet. It is not a dual carriageway. It does not have the sophistication of design as the Hume Highway has, and it's a long way to go to get it to a high-class road where fatalities can be reduced to minimum numbers.
What we're talking about is higher speeds. Every vehicle can do it to the cheapest one you can find. And we're talking about through traffic and lots of big freight transports now that travel at high speed also. And against those, where what we have is a road with tractors crossing it, with school buses and pedestrians and turning traffic. And what we're doing is going to duplicate the problems, not duplicate the benefits. Okay, with the availability of the funds they have, what they're doing is dressing up the existing road. And I think in 20, 30 years' time, there'll be so much development on this in this developing area of Australia that you'll probably never be able to come back and go on another route. So there's a conflict in the nature of the road, what they're trying to do.
The more roads we build, the argument is, the more traffic there is. Therefore, we are contributing to the larger global warming issues and the depletion of resources through building more roads. My view is we need to get a balance with an efficient basic network and efficient transport along that network. At the same time, restrict the use of vehicles and the consumption of fossil fuel. Hard balance to get.
Do you have any message to pass on to the RTA as far as their roads are concerned?
Yes, keep letting to private enterprise to build, and we'll end up with a damn good Pacific Highway. It's very satisfying for me to see the standard of the improvements they are now doing.
Well, I was a part of the Pacific Highway Task Force representing the bus and coach industry. Federal funding for the roads throughout Australia coming from the federal government is $6 billion. That's exactly what was costing us in accidents. And if I dropped dead tomorrow and somebody asked me in heaven what was my greatest achievement on earth, I would say it was being a part of that National Pacific Task Force, the Pacific Highway Task Force that was successful in getting that funding in place. I did not think I'd ever see it in my lifetime, and now it's happening before my eyes, and I'm a very, very happy person.
The RTA would like to thank all those who took part in this oral history program. The work was commissioned by the RTA Environment and Community Policy Branch. Research, interviews and production was by Frank Hymans. The opinions expressed in the oral history interviews on this tape are those of the individuals concerned and do not necessarily represent the views of the New South Wales Roads and Traffic Authority.